The Lord be with you. 3 years ago, when we read this gospel text in church, I made a joke that the desire to be lifted up into the clouds by Jesus stems from the same reason that we have so many movies come out on Thanksgiving. People are trying to get away from their family. Joke doesn't work this year. Joke doesn't work this year, and instead this year, maybe we feel more drawn to Isaiah's words, crying out to God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Won't you come show up, God, and put everything right so that we can have those big family gatherings around a feast with the turkey and all the side dishes, and then we can all pile on the couch and watch football and the Macy's Day Parade. Oh, God, that you would just make things the way we wish they were." And yet that's not actually what Isaiah asks for when Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down," because Isaiah continues to say, "so that the mountains would quake at your presence, like fire kindles brushwood." Isaiah wants God to come down, yes, but to come down like an earthquake and like fire. And I have to say, we already had fires this year, and I don't feel like we need an earthquake in 2020. So maybe no thanks, Isaiah. It is a curious thing that there are so many passages in the Bible that seem to yearn for the destruction of the world. And as people who are going through a year that feels like the world is falling apart, we might find ourselves asking why. Scholars call these portions of the Bible apocalyptic literature. And in popular imagination, apocalypse tends to be associated with the end of the world. But that's not what the word means. Apocalypse in Greek, it literally means a revealing, an unveiling, an uncovering. Scholars call apocalypses a heavenly vision of an earthly reality. A reality that though we are living in the midst of, we can't see because we are blinded by all the distractions of the things that we are yearning for. And in the Bible, what the people are often distracted by, what they're yearning for, are things like power and money. And so, in the Bible, God will, on occasion, do something to help break people of the blindness of their distractions. What God does is counterintuitive, because in order to break us from our distractions, God gives us the very distractions that we want. That's what Isaiah is talking about when he laments that God gave us into the hands of our iniquity. I've heard of many people who said that growing up, their father caught them with a can of chewing tobacco or a packet of cigarette. And their father's response was to say, "Okay, is that what you want to do? Well, now you have to eat the whole tin of chewing tobacco, or now you have to smoke the whole pack of cigarettes right now in front of me." And the reason the fathers would do that is to show the people that these things are actually terrible for them and that they don't really want them. That's what God is doing. God is saying, "Really? You think you want to live in a world where everyone is just lusting after power and money? Have at it." And shockingly, like Isaiah, people eventually say, "Oh, actually, no, God, we decided that's not what we want." And I will say, I have made many jokes over the years about how much better I would enjoy Thanksgiving if I didn't have to gather with all these family members. And this year I got it. To be clear, Thanksgiving had all the trappings this year, right? There was football on TV. There was even a made-for-TV Macy's Day Parade. The stores had turkeys, and I could get cranberry sauce. I could get all the Christmas or Thanksgiving decorations I wanted from Amazon. But I found when I finally had all those things, they're not what I wanted. What I actually wanted was to be with people, to be with the people that I loved. And so I wonder now why, for all those years that I had them, I didn't appreciate them. And I think part of it may have been because Thanksgivings in years past for me have always felt like the focus was not on the people, but on the meal, on making sure all the side dishes got made, on making sure the house was decorated just right, making sure everything was cleaned before the guests arrived. It felt like Thanksgiving became a to-do list. And I want to be clear, right? There is nothing wrong with having good food or decorating your house or keeping it clean. But in years past, it has often felt like we were trying to create a container for our happiness. And while that container was good, we became so focused on the container that we forgot what goes inside of it. Not just at Thanksgiving, I feel like sometimes all our life can feel that way. That we become so focused on creating what we are told is going to be the container for our happiness that we forget to look inside and see if we actually have what makes us happy. Apocalyptic literature is written when God's people feel that reality so deeply in their bones that they get fed up. They realize that they have focused so much on the container that they've missed out on the happiness, and they're fed up with it. So much so that they say, God, okay, we've tried it our way. You've given us what we want, and it doesn't work. And so, God, we want you to come. Come not as we want you to come, but come as you are, as you intend for us. Come, and if that means you have to show up like an earthquake and fire and level our society to the ground, so be it. Because what we have built is a mess, and we recognize that you may just need to bulldoze it all so that you can build something new. That's why Isaiah wants God to come as an earthquake and like fire. And it's why when Jesus talks to his disciples and says, but in those days and after that suffering, then the sun will be darkened and the moon won't give its light and the stars will fall from heaven. He is telling that as good news to his disciples. And it's meant to be as good news for us because it finally means that God is destroying the distractions that have blinded us from seeing as God sees. And the disciples rejoice. They say, yes, Jesus, that's what we want. All right, now let's skip ahead. Can you make that happen now? Because right now it's not so great. Like children who say, well, Christmas is a month away. If I just had a really long sleep, when I wake up, it'll be here. Or like so many of us who say, maybe we could just skip ahead until there's a vaccine and we can gather together with our family again. But to those of us who wish we can just skip ahead to the good part, Jesus says about that day, about that time, no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven, nor even the Son, but only the Father. You see, we aren't told when Jesus will come and set everything right, and it's for a reason. Because Jesus wants us to stay awake now and keep watch. And that is, in fact, the whole theme of the season of Advent. To stay awake and to keep watch. To keep watch for Jesus' coming, yes, for Jesus' coming in Christmas, but also for Jesus' second coming. But also for the ways in which Jesus shows up in our life each and every day, even when it's not Christmas, even when it's not the end of the world. Because you see, we may not know when that final apocalypse, that final revelation will occur and Jesus will come to set everything straight once and for all. But the scriptures tell us that there are many, many apocalypses along the way. God gives revelations to generation after generations of prophets to show them how that they've been distracted by the corruption of their society and how God is revealing to them God's presence now in ways that require them to put aside all the things they thought they wanted. Jesus' disciples, they also have a mini apocalypse with Christ. Because Jesus tells them that in the breaking of the bread and in the sharing of a cup in his name, their eyes will be opened. And though they haven't seen Jesus by their side for a long time, when they give thanks in this way, they will see as God sees, and they will see that Christ is with them. And not only is Christ with them, but that he has gathered together from all the ends of the earth, from all the corners of time, all those who share Christ's love, and that they will feast together. You see, the breaking of the bread is a way that God breaks our blindness so that we can see as God sees. And the word that the scriptures use for this act of communion is Eucharist. But Eucharist is just a Greek word that literally means thanksgiving. And so, while for these past 9 months we have learned to have Eucharists with our families at home or online, live with people spread across the world, it is perhaps appropriate that this Thanksgiving was particularly apocalyptic in the best possible sense. For me personally, I am blessed to have my in-laws near. And so while I couldn't be with my father or my mother, I was able to sit on the front porch of my in-laws, and my mother-in-law beautifully decorated little tables and set them far apart from one another. And after we had eaten, my father-in-law built a beautiful bonfire. And we didn't gather all around it, but we split off into pairs. And we had deep, meaningful conversations, the kind I'd never had on Thanksgiving when all of us were bunched together trying to superficially chat over the murmur of the crowd. Instead, I got to connect. And when I talked to many of you this week, I heard similar stories. I heard stories about how you gathered not with the big family that you yearned for, but with small groups, sometimes of relatives, but often of friends or acquaintances who couldn't be with family. You found slightly awkward ways to keep each other safe as you shared a meal. One of you called me up and said, "I only know how to make Thanksgiving for 12 people, but they're not coming over. So I have all this food. Do you know of other folks I could share it with?" And you shared it with people who didn't have anyone else to be with on Thanksgiving. And I heard some of you say, "We have family that we could go be with, but we are choosing to celebrate Thanksgiving alone because we are so grateful for those people in our lives and we want to keep them safe." And when you told me that, it broke my heart. It broke my heart not with sadness, but with wonder. Because you were willing to do away with the entire container of Thanksgiving so that you could keep track of the content. You held on to the best part of Thanksgiving, giving thanks. And in that, I saw Jesus. And I will tell you, this year is not over. There will be much more heartbreak to come. And the temptation is to just try to go to sleep, to ignore the next few weeks and wait until it's all over. But Jesus says, stay awake. Stay awake because in the breaking of our hearts, we break our blindness so that we can see as God sees. That Jesus is with us now, gathering us together from the four corners of the earth and uniting us in his love. May we see as God sees. Amen.